Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I'd like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we are celebrating Christmas Eve here, we wish everyone a happy Christmas Eve. I thought we, as our family always does, and then night before Christmas, is to read a very special poem written back in 1822 by Clement Clark Moore. And Clement Clark Moore was the son of a prominent bishop of New York, famous for officiating at the inauguration of George Washington. And he wrote a poem for his children, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, also called A Visit from St. Nicholas, back in 1822. In fact, some people consider the first few lines arguably the best-known verses ever written by an American. Well, it's now become a tradition among many American families to read the poem every Christmas Eve, and it's kind of redefined our image of Christmas and Santa Claus. Prior to the creation of the story, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, St. Nicholas, the patron saint of children, had never been associated with sleigh or reindeers or chimneys or even the way he looked. And this was the first time we kind of got a glimpse of what Santa was all about. Clement Clark Moore was kind of a scholar, professor, kind of a solitary man, and when he first wrote this poem, he didn't want to advertise that he wrote it, and he kind of just gave it to his kids. But then one of his friends sent it to the New York Sentinel in 1823, a year later, December 23rd, and he allowed it to be published under conditions that it would remain anonymous. His name would not accompany the poem, but then back in 1844, he finally took ownership of it when he put together the work of his poetry. So a little background on 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. But I thought it would be appropriate that since it is Christmas Eve, everybody can sit back, relax a little bit, and listen to Clement Clark Moore's poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away, all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke had encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." I love reading that poem, actually. Hope it sounds like it. It was the night before Christmas, back in 1822. And here we are, a few years later, and still certainly enjoying it as much as everyone has over those years, many, many years ago. So, if the kids haven't had the opportunity to listen to it, well, maybe read it to them, and before they go to bed tonight, and they'll go to bed quickly, but they'll be listening for Santa and the reindeer's hoofs on the roof. Well, quickly today, because you have to get this, our last chance here to get these cupcakes for the holiday, swirls for the holidays. Great cupcakes by our good friend Pam Rose, who was on our show last week, located at 705 West Belden Avenue for cupcakes, 773-404-CAKE, which is 2253. And certainly great cupcakes Pam has and certainly brought in last week. They were just terrific. Everybody at the station enjoyed them. Gingerbread and chocolate, peppermint cheesecake, and eggnog. And fortunately, you know, for the holidays and the kids, you can get them gluten-free or vegan gluten-free. So certainly a lot of opportunities. I know she's going to be open for a little later this afternoon, maybe even into the evening. So if you have the opportunity, again, Pam Rose at Swirls Cupcakes, because cupcakes make people happy. 773-404-2253. Something to enjoy for everybody. And we got a couple other stories we'll be reading for the holiday. You know, this is kind of interesting. I said this before. Now, of course, we have the three wise men who came and visited the Christ child on Christmas. But if they were three wise women, what would have happened? Well, if they were three wise women, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought practical gifts, and then there would be peace on earth. Okay, well, perhaps that would be the case, but you never know. You know, it's always a special time because there are so many traditions we have in and around the Christmas holidays, and one of them, of course, is enjoying the tradition of the wreaths, and wreaths are in the house, around the doors, and little sprays of holly and all the berries and so forth, but evergreen wreaths have been a part of seasonal festivities since ancient times, when revelers at solstice celebrations displayed aromatic greenery as a symbol of enduring life in the midst of winter. The custom of using wreaths as holiday decorations arrived in the American colonies with 18th century German and Swedish settlers. By the late 19th century, thanks to Charles Dickens and other Victorian champions of Christmas, holiday wreaths conveyed festive good wishes on the front doors of homes across the country. I think you see that more and more, not only around the holidays, but certainly wreaths for every kind of season that comes along, but certainly around the holidays with the evergreen berries and so forth. And, of course, you don't want to miss the opportunity to be able to see the Nutcracker with a lot of different presentations. Of course, we had Ashley Weider, the artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet on last week, and we were talking about the Nutcracker, the great presentation that he, of course, gives us, and also A Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater, and we just had the opportunity of seeing that the other evening, and what a lot of fun, what a great tradition that has been for so many, many years at the Goodman Theater, and certainly a tradition that continues and everybody enjoys to this day. We also want to remember the one tradition of, we see, of course, evergreen, but we see poinsettias everywhere. It's a story about poinsettias. Long ago, in a certain town in Mexico, it was the custom to lay gifts on the altar of the church on Christmas Eve for the Christ child. One Christmas Eve, a small peasant boy stood sadly outside the church, for he had no gift to give. He knelt on the ground to pray for the Christ child, and as he did so, a tiny tear, unbidden and unnoticed, fell from the child's eyes. As the little boy arose, he saw in astonishment that a plant was pushing up through the ground where he had knelt in prayer. He watched in ecstasy as a beautiful scarlet plant opened on the exact spot where his tears had fallen. The poinsettia was his gift to the Christ child, and as he lay it on the altar, there was a murmur of admiration from all the other people there as the flower's center radiated golden light. The flower's light was reflected in the little boy's expression, which glowed with love for the baby Jesus. Interesting little story about how we got the poinsettia. And, of course, most of the poinsettias come from Mexico, and they're all over. And I didn't realize this, but I found out this the other day, that the poinsettia is the best plant that you can have in your house to kind of filter the air. So if you have them all over your house, environmentally, it's a good thing to do, as it should be, with your Christmas tree. And water your Christmas tree. Don't forget to do that. Well, of course, being Christmas, only appropriate that we play some great Christmas music. And, of course, what we're featuring on our show today is the music of two very talented people who will be our guests a little later on our show, Ann and Mark Burnell, two great members of the Chicago Cabaret Professionals, and their Christmas CD, which is entitled Jingle Baby. And, of course, one of my favorites, written by Mel Torme, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Nobody does it better than Ann and Mark. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping. Tide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. Child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. It's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. been said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to
always enjoyable listening to Ian and Mark Burnell, and one of my favorite songs, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. The hilarious three-time Tony Award winner La Cage aux Folles is now playing at Chicago's Bank of America Theater. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that three-time Tony Award winner, including the award for Best Musical Revival, La Cage aux Folles is now playing at the Bank of America Theater. La Cage aux Folles, starring George Hamilton and Chris Sieber, for 2 weeks only through January 1st. This hilarious new production of La Cage aux Folles was the biggest hit of the 2010 Broadway season, leaving audiences in stitches night after night. La Cage aux Folles tells the story of George, the owner of a glitzy nightclub in lovely Saint-Tropez, and his partner, Alban, who moonlights as the glamorous chanteuse Zaza. When George's son brings his fiancée's conservative parents home to meet the flashy pair, the bonds of family are put to the test as the feather boas fly. La Cage aux Folles is a tuneful and touching tale of one family's struggle to stay together, stay fabulous, and above all else, stay true to themselves. And on the line with us right now is the Tony-nominated Broadway actor, having appeared in such classic musicals as Into the Woods, Spamalot, Shrek the Musical, Chicago, and Beauty and the Beast, television performer with the Olsen Twins and Two of a Kind in Sex and the City and in The Good Wife, multidimensional performer, vocalist, dancer, and a person sincerely dedicated to helping others in his work with Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, now starring as Alban in the Jerry Herman classic La Cage aux Folles at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe, through January 1st, Mr. Christopher Sieber. Chris, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, how are you? Wow, what an intro.
Well, it's very well deserved. I mean, what you guys did for us last night.
Last night was our press night, and the reviews came out today, and I'm pretty happy with them. I think, you know, they're pretty good. The show's terrific, and, you know, it's nice to be back in Chicago. The last time I was here, we tried out Spamalot here.
Sure, sure.
In the exact same theater, the
right.
Schubert Theater, which will always be named the Schubert Theater.
That's right. You know, it's such a great intimate space. I don't know, especially for Spamalot as it was, and certainly for La Cage aux Folles. You know, we feel like we're part of the production itself, Chris. That's the intimacy you get.
Yeah, and also this production in particular is a very intimate production, and it's the way Terry Johnson, our director, it was originally done at the Meunier Chocolate Factory in London, which is a very small 140-seat theater. And so it's always done on a small scale. They always bring these big shows and bring them down and pare them down and get focused really on what the story is about rather than the over-the-top craziness of, like, the spectacle of a Broadway show. And so our show is very intimate, so it plays very well here at the Schubert or the Bank of America Theater. But we were just in Boston, which was at another Schubert Theater, which is very similar to this one. And it plays so well. And, I mean, because we've been playing other places, too, like Iowa, which is, I think, 3,500 seats. It's like, you know,
wow.
It's playing a stadium. It still works, but it works better when the audience is much closer.
Well, I guess the question everybody would ask, given the performance that we enjoyed last night, is, do you take vitamins?
Oh my god! You have no idea the supplements I take. Yes, actually, I rated GNC a couple of weeks ago, and they have their male energy packs, and I was like, can I have one of these? And I just want to try one out. I tried it, and I swear by them. It's like this GNC, they sell these men's vitamin packs with all the vitamins and nutrients that you could possibly need for energy, and it has saved me, because your audience comes to see the show, they'll see what I do, and it's for about three and a half hours, I don't stop. It is nonstop. I have to be at the theater an hour prior to the show. To get into makeup and costume and wigs and wig caps and slippers and all this other stuff and all the stuff that goes underneath a dress,
which you're learning too.
I will say that I make it look easy without bragging. I'll say I'll make it look easy, but it is hard. It's hard. This job is hard.
You know, it shows, and we were all out of energy at the end of the show, and we weren't even on stage like you were. It was just an enjoyable old time. Time in the theater, you know.
Yeah, it's a whiz bang of a show. That's for sure. I mean, it's and the energy, that comes across that lip of that stage to the audience, it can blow you back in the seat sometimes.
You know, I think what was interesting too, Chris, is the fact that, you know, you were able to not only sing as Alban, of course, as Zaza, but you have a great talent in your vocal leads as far as what you're presenting on the stage. And I think that's in I Am What I Am. What a great song. Of course, my favorite song is Song on the Sand, just a beautiful love song that a lot of people don't know enough about, but it's one of the great love songs in musical theater.
It really is. It's actually one of my favorites, Song on the Sand. It's because it says so much. You know, the history of a relationship is all there. And with What I Am, What I Am, it's there is so much there in that song and the lyrics. Jerry Herman did a terrific job writing that song. I mean, it's a gay anthem, but it's also, you know, who cares what you are? You know, I am what I am, and if you don't like it, that's not my problem.
Right.
And there's so much in there, and I was fortunate enough. Well, I am fortunate enough to get to sing it every night. But it's one of those songs that you kind of have to do the rabbit hole thing. You have to kind of go there. You can't do it just kind of half. You have to put your entire body into it, and you put your soul, everything into it. So it's kind of a rabbit hole song. It's a lot. It's a lot, but it ultimately is so rewarding at the end.
And thank you for doing that. I, you know, something about sharing, something about always, that's certainly what you did last night. You've been in such great classics, as I said before in the introduction, Spamalot and Shrek the Musical. You were King Farquaad in Shrek the Musical.
Lord Farquaad, yeah.
Right?
I did the whole entire... I don't know. Kevin, I keep doing roles that hurt me. Like Lagage is the heels and the corsets and everything that's squeezing my ribs, and it makes me feel like my kidneys are going to explode. In Shrek the Musical, I was Lord Farquaad, and I helped create that show, and I had to do the entire show on my knees, and that's my fault. That's my fault because when we were developing the show, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be funny if I was a short guy? So I came up with this idea with Tim Hatley, our designer, and I put myself on my knees with these little legs in front of it, and we laughed out. Well, that's what we have to do. So we created this entire costume, and I helped create the costume. But I did the whole show on my knees. So anybody who ever does Lord Farquaad on tour or in the future, I'm sorry.
But you're a big guy, too. I mean, you're not the size of Mel Brooks or anything like that. So it's
I'm 6'2", and I, you know, Lord Farquaad was 4.5 feet tall. So I did that, and I sang and I danced and I walked on my knees. Yeah, so that was fun. And then in Spamalot, I was the Black Knight. I get my arms and legs cut off. You know, 8 times a week, and that was this horrible cage of a costume, and I called it the loneliest costume because you couldn't hear and you couldn't move in it, so you're just kind of like relegated to a corner of the theater where you wouldn't be in the way. It was the loneliest costume.
And Spamalot opened in Chicago, and I didn't realize that.
Here.
Yeah, right.
Opened here. Right. It was one of the most exciting moments of my career, I would say. That first night, the audience was so jazzed to see it. We were so jazzed to have an audience because we hadn't had one yet. Another show I had created, and the lights went down, and the downbeat happened, and the crowd went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting at the stage console. My dear friend Peter Lawrence was our PSM, our head stage manager, and I just because it's always that first... The first audience of any show that you do, you just want to see if they're going to be, or you can feel the energy right away. And when the house lights went down and there's just a downbeat, they went crazy, and Peter turned to me and said, I think we're going to be okay.
You were. For a long time, you were okay.
Oh, my gosh. And we had such a great time. And the Chicago audiences were lucky because they got to see two or three numbers that were eventually cut.
Yeah, right. We had a ball that evening. It was terrific, and it was very, very well received. Of course, you know, you've played a musical theater. Have you ever delved into the dramatic side of the theater?
The thing is,
you can't dress like that doing that. Right?
The thing is, for some reason, I don't say I'll be pigeonholed, but I have a hard time taking things too seriously.
And, I can't imagine.
And if I see dialogue that I think there's something funny in it, I instinctually go there. And so I think I've offended many of the writers. I'm not necessarily making fun of their writing, but just, you know, putting my own weird sense of humor to it. And they're like, oh, no, he's not right for this. Yeah, dramatic. Yes, I would like to do that. I recently did a show called The Kid, which is based on Dan Savage's book,
mm-hmm.
About he and his partner Terry adopting a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have a child. And so I played Dan Savage, and part of it is, you know, that's very, there's very dramatical moments in it, but it's mostly a comedy because Dan is very similar to me with weird sense of humor. But yeah, I try to.
Well, of course,
how long
are you in the Lacage of Fall
tour?
Yeah.
We're here in Chicago until like the first, I think. Yeah, the first
okay.
of January. We're here at the the renovation, because last time we were at the Bank of America Theater / Schubert,
mm-hmm.
It was brown inside.
Right.
And now it's beautifully restored. They did a great job. We're here till the 1st of January, but I am with the entire tour, I think, for another 9 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we're going to be around. So a lot of, you know, vocal rest and...
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask for our listeners, how are you enjoying working with Mr. Hamilton?
George is awesome. I will say George is the most non-diva, self-deprecating, famous person I've ever worked with. He's lovely. He's a dear friend, and I'm happy to say that. And, he's 72, and he is still up there, and he's doing it. And,
you know, he seems very welcoming, too, a very friendly guy. And like you say, not affected by who he is or what he's accomplished.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, it's a little odd because, you know, he walks – it's fun walking around airports with him.
Well, you look so pale.
Well, there's that, and people are like, what's George Hamilton? Wait a minute, that's George Hamilton. So it's fun walking around him, but, you know, he's George Hamilton, and he's a lovely guy. And he's very friendly to anybody he meets, and there's not a diva bone in his body.
Well, you're only going to be here for 2 weeks, Chris. I wish you would stay longer, but, hey, maybe you'll come back, too. That's,
Who knows? Chicago's one of my favorite cities, you know, so I do love it here. I just wish the weather would, like, this cloud would lift. This cloud here is...
Yeah, we need a couple feet of snow. You're right.
Yeah,
for Christmas.
And the sunshine.
For Christmas, yeah, we do.
The holidays are coming up. Let's do it.
Right. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that 3-time Tony Award winner, including the Award for Best Musical Revival, Lacage of Fall, is now playing at the Bank of America Theater, 18 West Monroe. Lacage of Fall, starring George Hamilton and Chris Sieber, for 2 weeks only through January 1st. This hilarious new production of Lacage of Fall was the biggest hit of the 2010 Broadway season, leaving audiences in stitches night after night. And on the line with us right now is the star of Lacage of Fall, Chris Sieber. Chris, a pleasure to have you on the show and chat a little
Thank you.
And certainly enjoy your next couple of weeks. I'll certainly wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And come back and see us, will you?
I would love to. All right, Kevin. Take care.
Take care. Thanks, Chris.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Chris Sieber, who stars as Albin in the musical, Jerry Herman musical, Lacage of Fall at the Bank of America Theater through January 1st. And, of course, for tickets, 800-775-2000. What a terrific night in the theater. A lot of energy. And as Chris was talking to Chris a little earlier, he said he's exhausted after the end of the show. Well, after 3.5 hours, you must be exhausted. So, but a lot of fun if you have the opportunity over the next 2 weeks do that. Well, we're going to get back to Ann and Mark Burnell's Christmas CD, Jingle Baby, and this is kind of a little wishful thinking, but why not? Maybe if we wish hard enough, we'll get it. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, that weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Well, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Well, the fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbying. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Thank you. storm. If you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Of course, Anne and Mark Brunell, Mark Brunell on the piano and Anne vocals. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. We can only hope that's the case going to be. The Christmas Schooner brings holiday cheer to the Mercury Theater, 3745 North Southport, through December 31st. The whole family will enjoy this heartwarming story of the first Christmas tree ship and the family who risked their lives to fill Chicago with the Christmas spirit. The Christmas Schooner is based on a beloved Chicago story. The Rouse Simmons, a Great Lakes schooner, was known as the Christmas Tree Ship. Its captain risked life and limb to transport fir trees from Michigan's Upper Peninsula to Chicago's German immigrants during the late 19th century. A timely and stirring tale of love and loss, the Christmas Schooner reminds us of tradition and our responsibility to celebrate the living while honoring our heritage. And on the line with us right now is the Jeff Award-winning performer, having appeared in such musical classics as Les Mis, Hello Dolly, Ragtime Oklahoma, and Camelot. Nationally recognized actress who has graced the stages of Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Marriott Lincolnshire, Drury Lane Oakbrook, and The Candlelight. Singer, writer, multidimensional performer, now starring in what has become a Christmas tradition in Chicago, the Christmas Schooner, the Mercury Theater, 3745 North Southport, through December 31st, Ms. Corey Goodrich. Corey, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great having you, and congratulations on what has become a Christmas tradition, and a little different than we're used to, but certainly in Chicago, it's very very pertinent in Chicago.
It really is. It's a beautiful show. Nutcracker is great and The Christmas Carol is wonderful, but there's something very special about this show, particularly for Chicago audiences because of the history. But it's also, it's so much more than fluff. It's a very deep family show, and it means an awful lot to me, and I'm very grateful to be a part of it.
Well, for our listeners, of course, you play the mom, and for our listeners, why don't you give a little brief background, you better than I, about the story.
Well, as you said before, it was based on the history of the Rouse Simmons, which was a lumber ship that took fir trees from northern Michigan and Wisconsin down to Chicago. And every year they would have a big sale on Navy Pier, and people would come down and buy the trees. And John Rieger and Julie Shannon, they were inspired by this story, and they wrote a sort of fictionalized version of the family, not the real family. The captain risks his life to bring these trees to the German immigrants and also other people of Chicago because that Christmas tradition was so important and brought so much joy to so many people. And he did. He risked his life. It was a very dangerous thing to do. It wasn't like driving down the highway with a bunch of trees on the truck. He had to sail Lake Michigan in November and December, which can be very cruel. And I won't give away the ending, but it's dangerous, and it's very touching. He sacrificed, really, to give that memory to so many people.
You know, one of the songs, of course, that you sing every night, one of the lines, lyrics from the songs, is, "We all have songs, we all have stories." And it's certainly reflective of this particular play. I always thought, you know, we're used to going to the large Broadway-inspired musicals that literally kind of lift us out of our seats, or we're bombarded with the special effects and technology in our TVs and movies. But, you know, what I feel, this quaint, sincerely touching slice of Americana is the theater. It's like, if I can use an analogy, it's like similar to sitting in front of a heartwarming, the heartwarming feeling you get sitting in front of a fire, crackling holiday fire, reading a Christmas story to your children, because it's a true story, and it just gives you that feeling. And I think that's not a feeling that you always get when you get to go to the theater, but going to see The Christmas Schooner, you do.
Well, particularly at the Mercury, too. The Mercury only has about, 250, maybe
right,
300,
right.
Close to 300 seats, so it's a small theater. There's not a lot of special effects. There's not a lot of fancy lighting or anything like that. But what that does is it makes you focus on the story that's being told up on the stage, and it makes it so much more important than any other big spectacle that you could see. So I like that about it. I think the theater is perfect for the show, and I think you know, they've done a beautiful job with the production to make it really heartwarming and something that you feel very deeply in this season.
It's an intimate setting, as you say. Walter Stearns does such a terrific job, as he had at the Porchlight for so many years, and now he's, of course, the executive director of the Mercury Theater. Beautiful venue, and certainly a beautiful place, like you say, to tell this story. Interesting, I think one of the characters, Jim Sherman, he plays the dad.
He plays Opa, yeah, the grandfather.
Right, the grandfather. He was one of my teachers in grammar school.
Was he really?
Many years ago, right, on the south side of Chicago. But what a great man he is. And he's been in that role for many years.
He has. I think this is his sixth time. I've got to just rave about everybody in the cast. Not only are they good actors, but they're all good people, too. And it's such a joy to go to work and be with such a pleasant group. Walter is lovely, the loveliest person I know. Jim, I adore working with him. It's interesting because I did this show 2 years ago at Munster with another wonderful actor, Peter Kavoyan, and it's so fun to do the production, to do it a second time and to play off of different people because you get completely different things, and it's thrilling. I love Jim.
Yeah, please tell Walter and Jim we said hello when you see him, and certainly you've had a great experience in the musical theater in Chicago. As I said in the introduction, you've been in such great hits at Marriott and Drury Lane Oakbrook, and with our good friend Bill Pulinski at both the Candlelight and Theater at the Center. That has to be a lot of fun, and certainly people have noticed the great job you've done.
Oh, well, that's nice. I am a lucky, lucky girl. That's all I can say. I've gotten to work with some of the best and brightest in Chicago, and I still get to have a wonderful family. I have two children, so I have a somewhat normal life too, which I don't know if I would have if I were in New York. but it's been great. I've gotten to do fabulous, fabulous work here, and I'm so proud of the Chicago theater community, which I think is second to none. I mean, they really do important, meaningful things here, and I'm really grateful to be a part of it.
You know, I have so many conversations with so many great and talented people in the Chicago community, and have the opportunity of serving on the board of Roosevelt University, Chicago's College of the Performing Arts, and I think that, very frankly, we are second to none here. Mm-hmm. We talk about New York theater, but certainly here in Chicago, we have so many great opportunities and so many great performers that I don't think we're the second city, very frankly.
I don't think so either. I think there's some spectacular. And you see, look at Jesse Mueller, who's on Broadway
right now.
I mean, you have talented people coming out of the city. And you have people here who want to stay home and want to have a regular life and a family life, too. So, and it doesn't mean they're lesser artists. It just means they want a different lifestyle. So,
what's next up for Corey Goodrich?
Oh, well, let's see. I have 3 months off, so if anybody wants to give me a job. And then I will be up at Writers Theater doing A Little Night Music.
Oh, one of my favorites. Stephen Sondheim, A Little Night Music.
I know. I've been lucky. I just did Sweeney Todd, too. So
oh.
A year of Sondheim.
Outstanding. Now, who else is going to be with you up in the Little Night Music at Writers Theater?
Oh, let's see. Off the top of my head, I believe Shannon Cochran, mm-hmm, and Jonathan Weir.
Oh.
John Finley, who is also in Christmas Schooner, will also be in it. Kristen
Great.
French,
Great.
Who is in Sweeney Todd, both of them. Brandy Dahlquist is playing the Count, which will be fabulous.
Well, if you can get the get tickets, you can't miss it, because mm-hmm, as difficult it is sometimes to get tickets, because it's a very, very popular venue up north. But
right.
what a great play.
Yeah, and they do amazing work there.
The Christmas Schooner is a powerful, moving story with an exquisite score by Chicago favorites John Rieger and Julie Shannon. The musical has entertained audiences in hundreds of productions, including a 12-year run at Chicago's Bailiwick Repertory Theater. It's been called a grand family tradition by the Chicago Tribune. The Chicago Sun-Times raved, a touching slice of life that is an inheritance to be treasured. The Christmas Schooner brings holiday cheer to the Mercury Theater, 3745 North Southport, through December 31st. The whole family will enjoy this heartwarming story of the first Christmas tree ship and the family who risked their lives to fill Chicago with the Christmas spirit. And on the line with us right now is Corey Goodrich, who stars in The Christmas Schooner. Corey, I'm going to give a phone number for the theater, 773-325-1700. You know, I'll thank you for taking a little time and chatting with us and certainly getting the word out about The Christmas Schooner. Say hello to our good pal Walter and Jim Sherman, and certainly good luck up north when A Little Night Music starts.
Yes, thank you so much, and thank you for having me today. I hope you can all come out and see the show. It's beautiful.
And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye. Corey Goodrich, who stars in The Christmas Schooner at the Mercury Theater with our good friend Walter Stearns, 3745 North Southport through December 31st. For information, 773-325-1700. Well, we're going to get back to Anna Mark Burnell's Christmas CD, Jingle Baby, one of my favorites. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Ann and Mark Burnell, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, one of my favorites. One of the fun things about hosting my radio show is having the opportunity of making the acquaintance of some very interesting, talented, and fascinating people, and my next very special guests are just such people. They are award-winning entertainers who have spoken to us through their music and performances worldwide. We are all familiar with their work because the songs and music they share with us have become standards that speak to each of us and just simply touch our hearts. And, of course, I'm talking about Ann and Mark Burnell. And now we'll be able to enjoy their unique talents next Friday evening, December 30th, from 9 to midnight at Pegasus Restaurant, 130 South Halsted, for their 9th annual Eve of the Eve Gala Celebration. For tickets, 312-226-3377. On the line with us right now is our Ann and Mark Burnell. The Burnells, how are we doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
How are we doing? Well, very exciting. We've been showcasing your CD, Jingle Baby, all show, and certainly it's put us all in the Christmas spirit. Here we are on Christmas Eve, and certainly looking forward to a great holiday celebration, and, of course, looking forward to next Friday evening, which is the 9th annual Eve of the Eve. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Kevin, and we just checked the math to make sure we recounted all the years. It is truly the 9th annual.
And it seems like yesterday, of course, it's at Pegasus Restaurant. You've been at different venues, but this seems to be working out pretty well because it's such a great restaurant. You get some great food, of course, and great drink, and people come around. And it's an old evening for everyone because everybody has a chance to come up and sing a little bit besides you two very talented people.
Yeah, we have a huge array of guest artists. We never know who's going to drop in, and they come up and share their music with us. Or sometimes they have little parodies that they've written themselves. I'm hoping that Carla Gordon will grace the stage, you know, with her parodies of She Misses Fields for Christmas and that kind of thing. So it should be really a fun time.
We could all only hope. Do you remember the first one?
It was in 03, and it was at a room called The Big House, which is no more.
Okay.
We've closed a lot of joints.
Well, Pegasus is still going strong, but nonetheless. And that so that was the first one. And then because of the turnout, people just kind of got excited and wanted to come out year and after year. You have to provide them that entertainment, right?
Right.
It has grown every year, and we did a few different locations, but we settled on Pegasus.
And you're always busy year-round anyway, so especially on New Year's Eve, and it's always a popular time where your services are certainly well used in various areas, and it gives people maybe who want to stay home on New Year's Eve to the opportunity to come out on the day before and enjoy a little entertainment.
Right. Well, that's how we started it, because being musicians on New Year's Eve, we realized the danger of partying too much on the busiest night of the year, sometimes dubbed amateur night, and so we decided to have a real event the night before, so people could, you know, come out and not incur that kind of cost for New Year's Eve and just have fun the night before and hopefully, you know, make it safely home.
Well, Mark, you're a multi-talented pianist, a vocalist, and arranger. Of course, you've taught at Carnegie Mellon, at Northwestern, at Roosevelt University. You have certainly been part of the cabaret group at Yale and have appeared at Andy's Jazz Club and Davenport's and Park West worldwide, New York, Paris, and Rome. This is a busy time for you. What do you enjoy doing the most as far as all of those different hats that you wear go?
That's a great question, Kevin, and I think the answer is moving around, being a chameleon and playing in different styles, although I'm a jazz musician at heart and I prefer to play jazz, but I really like playing for different events, different venues, different styles.
Like next week he's doing a show with Sharon McKnight. She's coming in from San Francisco, and she's doing a show called Twisted Christmas at Davenport's, and I'm sure that it will be like very twisted.
That'll be Wednesday the 28th.
Wednesday the 28th, very good. You know, question, have you ever thought about doing a country western show?
Well, now that you mentioned it.
No, I'm just kidding.
We are working on one with Ron Anderson.
And Daryl Litz.
Yeah.
The great Daryl Litz, interesting.
So we'll hopefully share that with you a little bit later. It should be February next year.
Well, I'd love to have you on the show to talk about it, and because we don't do a lot of country western on the show, but certainly there's a start for everything. And you've certainly been in so many different clubs in and around the Chicagoland area, Andy's Pops for Champagne and so forth, 200 East Chestnut, a great supper club, and now you're appearing in a new place, 12 West. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's called 12 West, and that's the address of it. It's on Elm Street there, and it looks like we may have a steady job there when we get back from our vacation in January. So I'm looking forward to kind of having a home again down there on the Gold Coast.
Is it a type of place similar to what we experienced at 200 East Chestnut?
Yeah, it has a little dance floor, a little piano bar, and a long, you know, bar just for people to sit on. People are very comfortable there. It's kind of upscale. They'll have little snacks, foods, you know, and like appetizers and stuff like that, but they're not going to have full dinners, and it's really for people who enjoy music.
Mark, do you remember the Gold Star Sardine Bar?
Mm-hmm. I do very well.
Yeah. You know, we need a place like that, and I think that the talents that both of you have certainly fit into a venue like that, and we could only hope that this 12 West might turn into something similar to that. I think there's a call, a need, for places like that, and I think people want to come out and relax, listen to some great music, jazz or cabaret or whatever, and just have a couple cocktails and relax after a long day or a long week, and places like that, which I think are more sustainable now. I think that might happen.
Well, hopefully. Anne, you have a new place that you're playing in next month, don't you?
I don't even know if it's open yet, so I don't know if I should mention it, but it's down in by the Sears Tower called Hot Walks Cool Sushi, and they're going to feature some jazz on their opening night, which is January 20th. But it's like a sushi place, and they also have, you know, cooked food as well, and they're going to have like a after work type jazz.
As a teacher, Mark, do you see young people gravitating towards cabaret and jazz? Do you have people that are asking you for help and guidance in the craft?
Well, I teach people of all ages, and I think the media has a lot to do with it. If they're teenagers, of course, what they see on television is going to influence them a lot. But I think once they get a little bit older, they realize that the greatest songs in the American Popular Songbook are not the ones that are written in the last decade. They were written in the 30s and 40s.
Who were some people you looked up to, you aspired to, when you were honing your craft? Not that every day isn't a new dynamic and it's improving on a daily basis. Who are some of the people you looked up to, Mark?
Myself on the piano, certainly, it would be people like Bill Evans and Oscar Peterson and those types of players. But I gravitated towards singer-pianists and people like Dave Frischberg that could sing at the piano and entertain that way in the style of Bobby Short, but a little bit more in the jazz realm.
What came first in your schooling? Did you learn to play the piano and then added the vocals to it? Is that a difficult thing to do both?
It's difficult while juggling on a unicycle, but it's not difficult to do them both at the same time.
Just holding the piano itself must be difficult.
I started playing piano when I was 8 or 9, and I had a wonderful elementary school music teacher that taught us to sing, so I guess it all came together.
A teacher that started it all. And Aunt, what about you? Who were some of the people you looked up to?
I started singing a little later in life. I sang like in church and stuff when I was a kid, but I started falling in love with the standards and the American Songbook when I was waitressing here in Chicago, you know, hoping to be an actress. And I heard, I bought a lot of Ella Fitzgerald records and Sarah Vaughan, and those were my teachers, really. Billie Holiday, listened to all the music like that.
Do you enjoy the smaller venues when you're able to have a connectivity with the audience and you kind of see their emotions, you kind of go through the same thing, or I don't know whether an audience member is feeling what you're feeling, or are you feeling what the audience member is feeling?
I enjoy the small, intimate places, but, you know, with the Kevin Moore Presents shows and the stuff we've been doing with Chicago Cabaret Professionals, it's really nice to be on a stage and be in a more theater setting as well, where people are in the dark and paying attention and really wanting to fully experience it as a more theatrical experience than just kind of maybe background music or stuff. So I think there's, you know, advantages to both of those different kinds of venues. Definitely, I think either way, you're going to touch people's hearts with music.
I think that with the talent you both share, I think that the people's attention are kind of focused on what you're doing, and I think that's kind of important. Of course, Mark has his talent in as he was talking about Dave Frischberg putting some satirical lyrics to some Christmas songs, which we always look forward to, and it's something we will. So next Friday evening, the eve of the eve, the 9th annual, and we can only hope for the 10th annual, but I'm going to give a phone number for Pegasus, which is 312-226-3377. What can we expect?
Well, I heard that there's only a few, maybe 20, 25 tickets left. So if you are going to call in, you know, to make a reservation, you can call in right away. Or you can go on their website as well, PegasusChicago.com.
Maybe Caesar will have to open the window so people can stand on the streets or something like
that. Yes, we'd hate to have people have to wait until next year for the big 10th annual.
Well, we never know where the 10th annual will be, though, Mark.
No, we don't.
We can only hope. Well, I thank you both for sharing your unique talents with all of us here. And certainly, again, if people have the opportunity to come out to the Pegasus Restaurant, 130 South Halsted, next Friday evening for the 9th annual Eve of the Eve. And if people would like to give some information about either Anne Burnell or Mark Burnell, how would they go about doing that?
We have a website. It's called burnellmusic.com. And all our performances are listed on there and anything that we're up to.
B-U-R-N-E-L-L music.com.
Beautiful. Mark, Ann, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's a joy to chat with you, and certainly from all the Moors, we certainly wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you and yours. We hope you have a great, great celebration with your family.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Thank you, my pal. Thank you, Ann. Bye-bye. Ann and Mark Burnell, certainly will be at the Pegasus Restaurant, 130 South Halsted, next to Friday. Their ninth annual Eve of the Eve gala celebration. I think we might have the 10th at the United Center. I think that might be a great idea. Certainly would be a lot of fun. But we have to have a venue where it really means something as we celebrate the, what would that be, silver anniversary, gold anniversary, platinum? I don't know. But it'll be champagne nonetheless. It'll be a lot of fun. Again, for tickets, 312-226-3377. A little thought for the holiday season, a time of loving and a time of giving. The first gift, that of his only son, was the beginning of the tradition of love known today as Christmas. And so during this season, when traditions are followed and love is in the hearts of all, I want to share these humble gifts with you. I wish you the gift of kindness in your words so as to create self-confidence within your spirit and soul, kindness in your thinking so as to create a profound new attitude by which to live each new day, and kindness in your giving so as to enhance the abundant love you give throughout the year. I wish you the gift of magic, magic to fill each candle, star, and light on your tree with a special feeling of love that only Christmas brings, and magic to last all year long and remind you of your many blessings. Yes, it'd be a wonderful tradition to keep that magical kindness of Christmas in our hearts each day throughout the year. And so, the tradition of gift-giving reaches far beyond just the joy of buying and receiving. It is my hope that your Christmas spirit and love will be recognized in the sparkle of your eye and the grin on your face throughout this entire season as you remember that first gift, his only son. May the peace and joy of the season be yours today and the Christmas tradition of love be yours to share throughout the coming year. Merry Christmas to everyone. So a little Christmas wish for everyone. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Ann and Mark Burnell, who, of course, will be celebrating the ninth annual Eve of the Eve, Friday, December 30th, from 9 to midnight, the Pegasus Restaurant, 130 South Halsted at Adams in Greektown. For information, 312-226-3377. Corey Goodrich, who stars as the mom in The Christmas Schooner, a Christmas tradition at the Mercury Theater through December 31st, 3745 North Southport. For information, 773-325-1700. And Christopher Sieber, he'll be here for a couple weeks till January 1st as Alban in La Cage aux Folles. What a great evening in the theater. You really enjoy it. 800-775-2000. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a Merry Christmas.
Run out of new things to say. And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music
music.